Epilogue. "They played us like a damn fiddle," Kaz murmured, as he patted down the final patch of dirt on Clemson Early's grave. Tony didn't say anything as he leaned on his shovel and surveyed their work. Together, the two of them had cleared out a small corner of Early's backyard and dug resting places for the deceased farmer and his pet pit bulls. It had been a long 2 months since the day they had traded Orlando for Huxley. In those 60 days, Lisa's investigative report had been picked up by the New York Times. Huxley and Pickett and a number of Huxley's underlings had been brought before a grand jury for the media spectacle of the century, and a nationwide investigation had been launched into corporate malfeasance and water hoarding. Tony, thankfully, had managed to stay out of the limelight, thanks in large part to Huxley's own decision to play ball. It hadn't been from the goodness of his heart, or any sense of nobility, so much as it had been from a desire to spare the project heads of the Dust Bowl Manifest from any possible scrutiny, but it had still spared Tony the nightmare of questioning and scrutiny that might have exacerbated the grief and guilt he still felt over his failures. Huxley had similarly been thorough enough to guarantee that Tony's apartment had been cleaned up, with the bodies of Clemson's household removed from his abode and relocated to Clemson's farm, but their connection to the case made them evidence, and the house crime scene, which in turn had prevented Tony from giving them the burial he felt he owed them until their use as evidence had passed. It had bothered him deeply, seeing Early and his pets trotted out like this in the media spectacle, just as it did when the media made Marshall's death into another sideshow attraction in this circus. Not that he blamed Lisa or her team for any of this. They weren't responsible for what the larger apparatus did with their thorough, groundbreaking coverage. He hated as well how celebratory so many were about this, as if the indictment of Pickett and Huxley, the breaking up of Huxley's company, and the renewed interest in water rights had brought victory, when Tony himself knew, from Huxley's own admission, that somewhere, somehow, Tony's own work had been contributing to this nightmare. It was only now, after he and Kaz finally had a chance to give Clemson's little family some semblance of rest, that he felt an iota of peace settle over his soul. "At least," he said, "we could do this much for him." Kaz grunted his agreement as he leaned onto his own shovel. "Do you think Huxley was fucking with us? Trying to steal some fire from our victory?" "No," Tony said, voice dripping with exhaustion. "Given how willing he was to turn himself in, how dedicated he was to this cause, I can't imagine he was being spiteful. You didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he's the kind of guy who prides himself on a sense of gentility, of honor. It'd be hard not to take him at his word." "But then, Jesus, Tony, how far do you think this shit goes? Have you done any digging?" Tony could only shrug in resignation. "I tried, but all my contacts have either shut up or gone very, very quiet. I was hoping some would feel emboldened to dish on anything they might know after Huxley's indictment, but if anything, just the opposite has happened. My guess is that whoever the leaders of this Dust Bowl Manifest are, they've gone into full retreat for the moment, and in doing so, have started pulling back some of their men. I expect we're going to see a lot of reassignments, a lot of repositioning, and a lot of confusion in the coming months that'll be so hectic, nobody's going to make heads or tails of it." "Well, fuck." Kaz massaged his forehead, almost as if he was trying to stimulate his brain into yielding some kind of insight into their predicament. "At least this buys us some time, don't it? Means we're safe for a little bit." "But for how long?" Tony wondered out loud, voice heavy with concern. "No, Kaz, I'm sorry to say, but there's no time for resting on our laurels. We, or at least I, need to get moving, and soon."
"What are you talking about? How soon?"
Kaz asked, his concerned gaze turned now from the grave to Tony. "Maybe today," Tony allowed, with a heavy sigh. "I've been taken off the assignment in Afghanistan for now, but that doesn't mean I can afford to just languish in my home until they come kicking the door down. Now that we finally had a chance to put Mr. Early to rest,
I feel it's time for me to stop moping.
So then what's the plan?
The first thing I'm going to do is dig into Orlando's background, Tony said, voice heavy with a grim determination. Huxley's superiors and Huxley himself seemed so unusually dedicated to protecting that man that I have to imagine that there's something in his history, something in his work, that holds the secret to what we're chasing.
Kaz whistled to hear that, a high and sharp keen that died down over a matter of seconds into a nervous trill.
You're sure you don't have a death wish or something, Rodriguez? I mean, you know the only reason we got out of that last tussle with him in one piece is because we took him by surprise. If I hadn't gotten that lucky shot off on him and fucked his leg up, I don't think he would have made a half of the mistakes that gave us the win. Frankly, if I were you, I'd count my losses and be happier for it.
Tony shook his head, grimaced. If only I could. But the way I see it is that one day, whoever the leaders of this Dust Bowl manifest are, they're going to come calling for me. Not right now, not any day soon. It's too early for that. That's no reason to give them time to get ready, though. We only won last time when we started getting proactive, and I, for one, don't want to lose that momentum.
If you want out of this, Kaz, tell me. I don't blame you. But even if I could be guaranteed they'd leave me alone, I couldn't just walk away now. It wouldn't sit right with me. I'm an engineer, a problem solver by trade. My work is dedicated to making sure that everybody has what they need, that the system works, to give them the thing most precious to all life, water. I could never rest easy knowing there are still people out there dedicated to a system that subverts that, and that I just slept through it. Sorry, partner, but as irrational as it is, I have to see this through.
A silence, as lonely and as cold as the graves in front of them, settled over the tableau for some immeasurable period of time, interrupted at last by the gentle sound of Kaz's hand landing on Tony's shoulder.
You really don't know when to leave well enough alone, do you, partner?
Kaz offered with a sigh that brought Tony turning around. Though his trademark sunglasses hid his eyes, the tears sliding out from under them and onto Kaz's face told Tony everything he needed to know about his friend's emotional state and the undying support he offered.
I should back off. Really, I should. But I can't let you go into this alone.
"Kaz, no, really," Tony protested. But the vehemence of his friend's shaking head was much too forceful to be stilled with a simple disagreement.
"You've done more than enough. I can handle this stretch of the journey on my own."
"That's bullshit, and we both know it!" Kaz just about yelled, and to punctuate his frustration, he thwacked Tony on the leg with his crutch. Though it wasn't at all painful, Tony couldn't help blanching at the blow. His friend's hurt and fear carried a force as devastating as any gunshot.
Jesus, Rodriguez, I'm not asking you to leave me out of this. I volunteered to help you last time, didn't I? And weren't you just agreeing with me that absent my help, you and your buddy Glenn, who's still laid up in the hospital, need I remind you, would be dead? I'm not doing this because you roped me into it. I'm doing this because after losing Marshall and after nearly losing you, I can't just let you go running off on your own like that anymore. You're not a superhero or some secret agent, Tony. You're just an idiot. But damn it, you're my idiot.
By the time he had finished his rant, the slow trickle of Kaz's tears had turned into full-blown waterworks. With a small sob, he pulled Tony in close for a hug that Tony was more than happy to return.
Just promise me that we're not going to lose anybody else, all right? After Marshall, I couldn't bear it.
I promise, Tony said, returning the hug with an earnest squeeze of his own. We won't lose anybody else. Not again. Not after this. It was dozens of minutes before Kaz pulled back, wiped the tears and snot from his face with his sleeve, and then, wearing a sheepish grin, as if he was embarrassed to have ever had emotions at all, turned to Tony with a wry smile.
You better keep that promise, partner. Now you want to go seal the deal with a round of drinks?
Tony smiled his own rueful smile.
All right, but first round's on you.
Kaz just smiled and nodded and turned as he began to make his way back to the vehicle. It wasn't the happy conclusion they wanted, Tony thought to himself. It was more like the beginning than any kind of ending, if it was anything at all. Orlando was still on the loose. The inner circle of the Dust Bowl manifest were still scheming, and the full extent of their tampering had not been revealed. And yet, with the sense of resolution offered by this burial and Kaz's allegiance, Tony felt as if maybe there was some seed of an ending here. As if the victory they would enjoy in the future would trace back to the actions taken today and in the whirlwind of the events that had brought them here. His confidence renewed by these thoughts, Tony moved to catch up to his friend, one foot following steadily, certainly behind the other. The end.